Network. I'm Naomi Lynn. A four-month investigation has resulted in a big bust for St. Clair County Drug Task Force. They took six suspects into custody this week and seized thousands of dollars in cash and heroin yesterday during a couple of drug raids. Officials executed two search warrants at the same time, one along the 1600 block of 9th Street and one along the 2200 block of Thornhill Street, both in Port Huron. Charges against the suspects include possession with intent to deliver, operating a drug house, and frequenting a drug house. Some suspects may also face habitual offender status. Committee sessions this week for the St. Clair County Board of Commissioners saw the board passing on to the full board for approval of the agreements and contracts for the Thomas Edison Inn Convention Center development. County Chair Jeff Bohm says there are several documents that have been in place for the fundraising and other work on the project to commence.
One is the Convention and Visitors Bureau agreement. Another agreement is with the City of Port Huron and them allocating their TIF monies along with some of the MDOT mitigation funds and some improvements to Harker Street. And then there's actually a development agreement between the county and the purchaser of the Thomas Edison Inn, committing him to the project and committing us to the project.
Bohm says when the board meets again in full session in 2 weeks, they're expected to approve the issuing of a $9 million 30-year county bond, which will be used to finance the building of the convention center. The project also includes a culinary school, a restaurant, a Hilton hotel, and the convention center to go up at the current TEI site. County Administrator Bill Kaufman says Baker College could be putting shovels in the ground for their culinary school as early as Memorial Day. Aiding in the redevelopment of properties in the city of Port Huron, that's a proposal from the Michigan Department of Transportation and the city of Port Huron as they set a public input session on adding a connector approximately 30 feet by 400 feet from Pine Grove to Hacker Street at 10th Avenue. MDOT's Janet Foran says the public input will be used to make a decision on the project.
All of this information is considered. It's part of a process that we need to use to what's called vetting the public, certainly getting comments, determining what kind of impacts there may be, and any mitigation that's necessary. So this is part of a mitigation that's required for the plaza project there.
The connector would be on a vacant MDOT-owned parcel next to the Blue Water Bridge Plaza. The session is set for Thursday, the 19th, at the MTech building at St. Clair County Community College from 3:30 to 7 p.m. As the state gets ready for another tourism season, Michigan Tourism and Tourism Promotion seems to be taking major steps forward. A new study by the group Longwoods International says the last summer's Pure Michigan ad campaign brought in a record number of out-of-state visitors to Michigan. And this year, the promotions are continuing with recent announcements regarding a Pure Michigan ad at Comerica Park in Detroit and a major deal with Coca-Cola. George Zimmerman, Vice President of Travel Michigan, says there's still more potential for more to visit Michigan, so they're not letting up on their promotional effort. As to why so much is spent on out-of-state advertising, Zimmerman says, quote, people who live further away tend to stay longer and spend more. This year sees the 100th anniversary of the ship Titanic sinking after striking an iceberg, causing the deaths of over 1,500 people and one of the deadliest peacetime maritime disasters in history, as well as the re-release of the Academy Award-winning box office hit movie. Local historian Ed Wixler tells us his presentations to students on the subject are always of interest to them, and they're already very familiar with the story.
Most of them are aware that if the Titanic was afloat today, it would not fit under the Blue Water Bridge. You can't surprise them with that. Most of them can quote you the figures, the ultimate figures of the number of rivets and how many horsepower and how many suites and stuff like that. I have yet to figure out exactly what it is that triggers this in them.
The Titanic was the largest ship afloat at the time of her maiden voyage and sank in the North Atlantic on April 15, 1912. It's the longest continually published community college literary and arts magazine in the state. That's Patterns, which will see its 54th edition released this month from St. Clair County Community College. SC4's Sean Starkey tells us Sunday, the 22nd, we'll see a reception in the college's Fine Arts Theater to honor the SC4 student writers and artists featured.
It runs from 2 to 6 p.m. We start out in our Fine Arts Theater, and we honor all of our student writers and artists who have work featured in Patterns. We then have a social hour with hors d'oeuvres in the College Center atrium, and at that time, our guest authors will read examples of their own work. And at the Sunday event, that's when we unveil the editions of Patterns, and we'll have free copies of the magazine available.
Saturday, the 21st, sees a fiction writing workshop with guest author Jamie Gordon, or you can attend a poetry writing workshop with guest author John Ribicki, both taking place at Studio 1219 along Military Street. Michigan continues to lose residents. Figures released by the U.S. Census Bureau yesterday show the state lost 0.1% of its population from April 2010 to July 2011. It's now estimated there are just over 9,876,000 Michiganders as of July 1st. The highest population growth was centered around areas with universities or colleges. They include Chippewa, Grand Traverse, Midland, Muskoka, Ottawa, Kent, Kalamazoo, Washtenaw, and Oakland counties. The northeastern Lower Peninsula, the Thumb Region, and Wayne County lost the most people from April 2010 to 2011. While it seems gas prices have stabilized for the Easter weekend, Michigan retailers continue to watch closely for their impact on consumer spending. Bill Thompson reports.
The big worry, according to Michigan Retailers Association President Jim Hallen, is that as families travel for gatherings this Easter holiday, that there is also enough left in the tank for some shopping. Hallen says all current economic indicators are up in Michigan, but under a cloud of gas prices.
The unemployment number is significant. That is 8.8%, and every month it's clicking down, so more people are working, and that offset, you know, the fluctuation of gasoline.
Hallen says the early spring weather in March also helped spark retail sales last month, but if gas prices continue to rise beyond current levels, it could severely hamper the modest economic growth so far this year in Michigan. I'm Bill Thompson.
Meanwhile, local drivers in the Blue Water area could see prices at the pump from $3.79 up to $3.85 per gallon for regular unleaded. The new luxury sedan from Cadillac will be available this spring. General Motors says the Cadillac XTS will have a starting price around nearly $45,000. It's the latest sedan to be offered in a very competitive automotive category. GM officials say they will also debut the new Q information system that has an iPad application included. The XTS replaces the Cadillac DTS and will have an option of all-wheel drive and three option packages. It works now with hybrids, but this fall you'll be able to buy a 2013 Ford Fusion with an auto start-stop system that offers thousands of dollars in fuel savings. Federal statistics show that 1.9 billion gallons of fuel were burned in 2011, idling at red lights, stop signs, and in traffic jams. That's 5% of all the gasoline used by consumers. But Ford Fusion marketing manager Samantha Hoyt says their $295 auto start stop system saves consumers in heavy urban areas up to 10% and others an average of 3.5% in fuel use. Hoyt says the car shuts itself down when you are idling but restarts once you take your foot off the brake. She says the fuel savings add up to about $1,100 over 5 years or by eliminating about 17 fill-ups at $4 per gallon. The auto start stop system will be available on 2013 Fusions with a 1.6-liter EcoBoost engines. The Saginaw County prosecutor has determined that state troopers who shot and killed a 24-year-old man last month did so in self-defense. In a statement released yesterday, Mike Thomas called the death of Keontae Amerison justified homicide, saying no criminal charges will be issued. Troopers pulled over the car in which Amerison was a passenger in the early morning hours of March 23rd, on Saginaw's east side near the old Saginaw County Fairgrounds. When asked to step out of the car, Amerson pulled out a handgun and fired several shots at the troopers. They fired back, killing Amerson. The hospital, or one trooper, was critically injured, but has since been released from the hospital and is recovering. Thomas says a 21-year-old woman driving the car Emerson was in backed up the trooper's story about what happened. Emerson had several previous convictions for various crimes. Governor Rick Snyder and State Treasurer Andy Dillon yesterday laid out the next steps for the city of Detroit in the aftermath of the City Council's approval of a consent agreement with the state. The deal adverts the appointment of an emergency manager by Snyder. The governor says Detroit Mayor Dave Bing has 7 days to create the chief financial officer and program management director positions, and then, with Dillon, another 30 days to approve a list and hire people for the two jobs. Snyder says there's no timetable to appoint the 9-member financial advisory board to oversee the city's finances. Dillon pointed out that the city is no longer in an immediate cash crunch because of the $137 million in state-backed bonds it borrowed last month. 4 city employees of Warren are under investigation on allegations of stealing thousands of dollars in city-owned property, including a heavy-duty toilet, a dog run, and a vinyl picket fence. Warren Mayor Jim Fouts said the workers, who were part of a Forestry Park maintenance division, were placed on paid administrative leave on March 27th. Police began an investigation after an annual inventory check found discrepancies between purchases made in 2011 and equipment in the city's possession. The city told police that there were only 4 employees who were authorized to use the city's Home Depot cards. Fouts said search warrants executed on the employees' homes resulted in a significant amount of property and tools being recovered, some which were still in their original boxes. Police have turned their findings over to the Macomb County Prosecutor's Office, which is awaiting a further inventory of the equipment and a determination of a monetary value to assess appropriate charges. Facebook messages show that the day before Livonia Team brutally murdered his ex-girlfriend's mother and friend with an axe, he posted messages about sadness on his account. A series of status updates leading up to Wednesday's double murder-suicide paint a disturbing portrait of 19-year-old Brian Douglas White, was accused of killing the victims with an axe before taking his own life with a gun. The incident remains under investigation as authorities continue to try to piece together the crime. The actions of a 15-year-old Ann Arbor High School student leads to a change in the rating of a movie that tackles the issue of bullying. The documentary film Bully was given an R rating due to coarse language, but advocates say the message of the movie could be a strong educational tool. But with an R rating, no one under the age of 18 years old would be allowed to view it. Katie Butler, who says she is a victim of bullying, initiated an online petition asking the Motion Pictures Association of America to change the rating so that more students could see the film. She garnered over 500,000 signatures, but the MPAA still refused to back down. However, the film's director, Lee Hirsch, agreed to cut some of the offensive language, and the MPAA agreed to lower the rating to a PG-13. And finally, expect to see increased traffic at the border crossings this week for the Easter holiday. Our Caleb Gordon has the details.
Prepared travelers lessen delays at borders. And with Easter weekend upon us, both U.S. and Canadian citizens need to be ready when traveling. U.S. Customs and Border Protection is reminding citizens that, when crossing the international border, they need to bring proof of citizenship with them. A passport, Nexus card, or an enhanced driver's license will do. Bringing the kids too? Children under 16 need to present a birth certificate when crossing. Make sure you have a safe and hassle-free vacation by bringing proper ID at the border. I'm Caleb Gordon, Blue Water News Network.
And that's the latest from the Blue Water News Network. I'm Naomi Lynn.
Hi, this is Hub Arkish.
And Wayne Larrabee with your invitation to join us for Pro Football Weekly every Sunday morning here on 1380 Radio WPHM.
Every week we take an exclusive look at the NFL.